We welcome you for this second installment of our Gopi Gita recitation. But before we sing the second verse, I would like all of us to picture the scene. Let us remember, the gopis had been called by Krishna through his enchanting flute. He stood at the Vamsivat, a tree which you can still visit today. And they had responded to his call on the flute, his long drawn out melodies. And they had come. They had talked with Krishna. Then Krishna had left them all alone because he went off with Srimati Radhika, and then he also left Radhika. Then all the gopis together, including Srimati Radharani, were looking for a long time for Krishna. But when they couldn't find him, they returned to the Yamuna. Now they sit on the banks of the Yamuna in the camphor-white soft sand. The time is somewhere between 10:48 p.m. and 3:36 p.m. This is called the Nisha or Nishanta Leela. Each gopi has a very particular relationship with Krishna, and therefore addresses Krishna according to her individual mood and what they experience in relationship to Krishna. And this makes the Gopi Gita so rich. There are so many varieties of moods and bhavas, that makes the Gopi Gita also the essence of the Bhagavatam, which is really teaching us ashraya, to take full shelter of Sri Krishna. It is said that the Gopi Gita relieves the agony of those who are suffering from the burning pain of separation from Krishna. And chanting it, understanding it, bestows supreme auspiciousness. And that is ultimately to be again in the presence of Krishna. You will find this Gopi Gita sung, especially in the month of Kartik, all over Vrindavan. You may hear it sung in the kutiyas, in the ashrams, in the temples. I know that even in Krishna Balaram Mandir, each evening the devotees assemble to chant this. And you might also find it being chanted by a lonely sadhu who sits under a tree. This is actually a song for those who want to be close, who want to be with Krishna. So the gopis, sitting there at the banks of the Yamuna, are now singing the second verse. You can find it in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 31st chapter, text number 2.
Sharadudashaye sadhu jata sad sarasi jodara shri mushadrisha suratana tate sulkadashika varadani Nato neha kim vada.
Let's try this one more time.
Sharadu Dashaye Sadhu Jata Sad Sarasi Jodara Shri Mushadrisha Suratanatate Shukadasika Varadanignato Neha Kimvada.
This is what the gopis address Krishna with. O master of amorous pleasure, see Krishna. O bestower of benedictions, is killing us, your unpaid servants, by the glance of your eyes, which steal even the proud beauty of the perfectly formed blossomed lotus, not considered murder? This is a heavy question. The gopis suffer so much that they are on the verge of death. And they say the one who's guilty for them dying is no one else than the bestower of benedictions, Krishna. And they asked him, is this not considered murder, that you just have disappeared from us and left us? There are various words to be said on this. Killing with a weapon is murder. We all know this. But Krishna is here accused by the gopis to do soft killing, that is, killing with a glance. And this is what they want to say. You stole our life force with a glance. When you looked at us, we became your maid servants. You didn't give us any money for this or any wealth. You purchased us by the wealth of your glance. That was enough. When you gave us that glance, that was enough to draw us away from our household activities, to draw us away from our families. And the next thing we found out was that we were only serving serving you. And then the gopis say, you did this many times. You did not only steal our hearts. No, with a glance, you have stolen also the splendor of the full-grown lotus. And now this splendor, this effulgence of the lotus is now in your eyes. You stole it. You stole our life also, and you keep it with you. Therefore, we request you, please come and give us our life back. Otherwise, we will die in separation from you. This is a heavy way of saying to Krishna, you are our all and everything. Our life is not possible without you. You stole it. You stole our composure. You stole all of our desires. You stole everything from us, and now you have disappeared, and we are slowly dying. So please, if you don't come back to us, we will die in separation from you. Also, the gopis, by saying you are Varada, the bestower of benedictions, no? Sarasi Yodara, you are giving benedictions. They remind Krishna subtly of a promise which he once gave to them. And they say, you should not break this promise. You promised us in the past that we would be together with you in those nights of the Kartik months, in those full moon nights of Sharad Purnima. You said you will enjoy those nights with me. Please, you have given this blessing. You should not break it, otherwise your name will be tainted. So in this way, the gopis give two reasons why Krishna should come back to them. He should not kill them and become known as the murderer of Vrindavan. And he should also not break his promise, because he is worshipped all over the world as Varadaraj, the king of those who give blessings. You can see these words are addressed in a very intimate, personal relationship. In the name of, or in the pretext of putting pressure on Krishna, the gopis are really coaching him or coaxing him. Please come out of the dark forest and be with us here on the bright scent of the banks of the Yamuna. How beautiful this song of the gopis is. How beautiful their mood is, where they lovingly call to Krishna, come, come, come to us.